So let's pray and we'll get into today's Christmas Bible study. Because it's the day before Christmas and I get to say Christmas. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we thank you. Truly, you have put into our hearts a joy and a gladness that's more than they, as the scripture declares, more than they that are full of their harvest and what they've brought in. Lord, you have given us a joy and a gladness more than the world's riches, more than the world can offer. Truly, Lord, we worship you, we thank you today, and we ask of you now that your Spirit would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Gospel of John. And today is somewhat of a Sunday school, if you will, Bible study, because it's entitled, Jesus is the Answer. So somehow every question that arises in what we're teaching, again, you think of some of the basic things and to learn of the Lord and to do that. John, I'm going to send you a text here, and then if you can reply to me. I need this later, and I didn't get it done yet. I need it before I'm done teaching. So that's what I'm doing right now. And all of you are wondering, what's he sending? This is a great... All right, and send. There we go. What's that? Oh, no. I'm just a week ahead of you. Actually, I didn't procrastinate. You know when this came to me? During worship or at the end. So, I may look late like a procrastinator, but like even like when I called for a week of prayer and fasting and the Lord changes it. Guys, we're going to be Spirit-led. And this is just something I'm adding right now as I believe something the Spirit's doing. And so we come to this, and I'm going to speak very freely to all of you in this way. Many today are trying to produce a sort of an excitement and like blessing of life unto themselves to have some sort of happiness. The world is absolutely consumed with having a great day. I mean, I kid you not, if you do any interactions with anybody in business on phones, email, somehow between business and companies, this whole idea of, I hope you have a great day, and they mean it. And I'm here to let us all know is that Jesus has come, and he's given us an abundance of life. I really don't care how your individual day goes. You might have good days, you might have bad days, you might be in warfare, you might be suffering, and I don't care about that. I care about you. Right? And as you understand that, we're all going to go through these trials. So I've entitled this Jesus is the Answer. So we're going to ask the basic questions: who? What? Why? When? And where? Isn't that the basics? Right? Now, if you're feelings-based, you don't ask those five questions. But if you want to know God, you ask those five questions. So in John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. John 1:2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. In case you didn't know what all meant, now John gives you another statement in the Spirit. It says, without him was not anything made that was made. And I absolutely love this understanding. You study that book of Genesis, is in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And when it gets on to the first description of creating light, it's very clear, describes, and God said. You say, well, wait a minute, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He formed him out of dust. And said, but wait, before he formed him with his hands, as we would think of it, what did he say? Let us make man in our image. See, not a thing was made without the Word, without Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if you want to answer that deep theological question is, why does God still let Satan thrive? Well, very clear. Very clear. Just because the light has shined in the darkness doesn't mean that everybody has said, oh, I want to live. The darkness comprehended it not. So there's just the witness of what man wants. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And what a name it is. Right? What a wonderful description as the angel came and says, you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people, your people from their sins. The name of Jesus, those that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those which were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the five questions that we're going to ask today, since Jesus is the answer, let's ask the questions. It's almost like Jeopardy, except that's vain knowledge typically. It's fun to watch the Bible, if you had the Bible category. Used to be an expertise amongst those that would be on Jeopardy. Now they come to those questions like they don't know the Bible. I looked at the Cliff Notes for the Gospel of John. You know, Cliff Notes, the condensing, everything. I just looking at asking a couple questions, and I always like to do this. And the Cliff Notes doesn't even think that the Gospel of John is written by John. I got that far, and I'm like, oh, they don't know anything about that. So don't think that the Cliff Notes of the Bible, don't follow the Cliff Notes of the Bible. Cliff doesn't know Jesus. His notes, if you ever come across his notes, just throw them away. That doesn't know Jesus. We come to this, and here we are again. Merry Christmas to all of you. I mean, that this from my heart to you, that it's such a wonderful thing that we come to, and we ask these five questions today. We ask who, we are going to ask what, when, where, and why. So who is Jesus? This place, as we come to the study today, who is Jesus? This is maybe the beginning of this. Well, of this wonderful thing that I want the end of today's study to produce in us. Okay? The joy of the Lord. That's the end of this study. Our joy. Again, the joy and rejoicing of heart. And again, I don't know how you came in today or what's weighing you down or what trouble. Or again, maybe it's sorrow. Maybe it's fear, anxiety. Maybe you're lacking love, joy, and peace because you're a worldly Christian. Now, I'm not here. Again, the Lord's very clear to me today. This is not going to be like a corrective Bible study today. It's just to kind of wake you up and say, you know what? If you're missing the joy of the Lord, it's because you're not living that abundant life that he gave you. When we talked about crossover and we're going to have this abundant life and absolutely the joy of the Lord, you can always ask my family if I'm the same at church and at home, and you can ask my coworkers if I'm the same at work. Do I have the joy of the Lord? Again, and the reality is because it comes from him. So who is Jesus? We begin this study today in John 1. Jesus is God. So when it says, in the beginning with God, and verse 1 says, the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is Jesus, Jesus is God. We come to this basic place of Jesus. If he gives you joy, that means that God has that ability to give you that. And it really just comes to this place of us deciding what we're going to do as we ask these five questions today. Now, why I bring up the feelings is because I asked the first question is like, I didn't ask you, who do you feel Jesus is? Well, I feel he's close to me and my friend. And then I feel like, this isn't any of that. We come to the Word of God that you might know the knowledge of God. That you, my whole thing is I'm calling upon us to have joy which surpasses our present state of feeling and being. See, when things go bad, the world they tumble. Right? Anxiety sets in, causing depression, causing worry, fear, suicide, right? You can just use that whole thing under that pressure. And I'm just calling upon us, when we face anything in our lives, we believe this, that as we come to this, if you know Jesus, right, you know him more and more, so that we might what? We might trust him. What you learn of him, what you know of him, what you find out, again, and then come to this, and again, you know, if you know he is God, in the beginning with God, and quickly it comes to this, that he's the Messiah. And you might say, well, where is that in chapter 1, 1 through 14, what I just read, that he's the Messiah? Look at verse 11. He came unto his own. It's a clear reference that the one who came forth from God, since he came from God, and he came unto his own, that means that he specifically was sent to his own what? His own people, to Israel. Revealing in the Old Testament this promise that God would send of the seed of Abraham, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a promise to fulfill unto them, later on revealed that that one who would come from the line of David, or the root of David, as we read today in the welcome verse. Very clearly, there is a clear reference, Jesus is the Christ. So Jesus is God, he's the Messiah, meaning that he's the one appointed by God to be sent into the world. And 11 says his own didn't receive him. His own received him not. So who is Jesus? See, the rejection of Jesus by the Jews does not make him, right, cursed, does not make him a liar. Actually, the Bible revealed that his own people would not receive him the first time around. Who is Jesus, as we answer that today? Well, he's God, he's Messiah. And what is he doing? So just on right away, who, what, why, when, and where. So I'm already on to the what. What, right? What is Jesus? Now, again, it's implied then when you say that, what is he doing? And I think here opens up. We get to the who he is, and you say, well, you could have said more on the who he is. Yeah, I could have. In fact, I think you can count the names, but he's the light of the world. He's bread of life. I mean, Gospel of John filled with who he is. But let's get on to what is he doing. It's revealed to us in verse 3, Jesus is the creator. What is he doing? He is responsible for all things that exist. He has made all things that exist. And we set this place of what has he done. Again, if you think about it in the term of what has happened and what is. So we got to talk past, we talk present, and what are we ultimately going to be talking about in what is Jesus doing? We're talking about his future work. So we come to this place of looking at creation, and all things were made by him. Colossians 1 describes that it is Jesus who has created. We come to this who he is, that he's God and that he's the Messiah and that he created all things, and just setting this up for your joy. And think about where I'm going today with this. And people like to express a Christmas joy. Oh, I just love this season. Or they even, I just love the spirit of Christmas. And then the exchanging of gifts and all kinds of things that go with this. But I'm taking us today to something that I believe is by the Spirit of God, that we would take a close look at what Jesus is doing. So if he has made all things, okay, all things were made by him, and then it all fell apart. It's broken. Now, that's what Genesis reveals. Sin entered the world. If you want to understand something, God made all things, and man broke it. And so what happens next is Jesus' next work. What is he doing? Well, he's going to save, or he's going to fix that which is broken. And the only way you do that is you have to save those who die. And so his work is a work of salvation. It's a work of salvation. This is his work. And I'm going to lay this out for us so that we don't wander or stray. As a church, we don't get off the path, the way of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. His work is a work of salvation. I could go through the verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Even the woman at the well. Oh, I heard that Messiah is coming, and he's going to save us. I mean, that this repeats over and over that the Gospel of John, that God would save. His work is a work of salvation. Let me illustrate from verse 4 in our text. In him was life. Just listen to that. In him was life. So when in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered everything, and the Spirit of God hovered above the waters, and God said, let there be light. When you look at John 14:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Men were in darkness. So this is for our learning, knowledge, understanding, that when we say, what is Jesus doing? And the very first phrase that John uses in this gospel to describe an understanding of the work of Jesus is, he's the light. He's the light. And it describes, in him was life, and life is the light of men. So he enters into a world that is in darkness where all men die. The world that was broken. Sin entered the world, death through sin, and it's broken. And Jesus came to fix it. Now, I'm not minimizing that, because no other one was found to fix that which was broken. What was broken was a very serious break between God and man. So when it describes that when Jesus came, in him was life, takes you all the way back to this wonderful work that God did in creation when he made mankind, and he made mankind, he made Adam a living being. He put life into him, and sin put death, and that death passed to all. In him was life. His work is life. This is his work. His work, salvation, is to be saved from death. Eternal death. We understand as we open this up. Men were in darkness, sin, hell, and death reigned. Instead of life, there was death. Again, instead of light, there was dark. And what does God do? He puts life in his Son and sends him into the world. And Jesus has life in himself. And that's what John is revealing here. Light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They would look at Jesus and see a man, and they would say, you're just a man. In fact, when he would say the words that he's the Son of God, they would say, you're making yourself equal with God, and we're going to kill you for that. He escapes out of their hands several times. But the truth is, men were in darkness. Men were in sin, hell, and death. Instead of life, there's death. Light shineth in the darkness. Jesus came in him as life, and everybody said what? Oh, thank you for coming. Everybody gets saved. Quite the opposite. In fact, Gospel of John reveals, why didn't the men come to the light? Not only did they not comprehend it, they wouldn't come to the light because they loved darkness. They loved sin, hell, and death. What's broken now with mankind? Well, when sin entered into the world, darkness, hell, death, guess what? Mankind likes sin. And this is why the Word of God has to be sharp to cut right to the issue of the heart, because if men love darkness, they have no intention of giving up their sin. They might even agree that it's sin, but right into the heart it says, I am not going to give up that sin. So men were in darkness. Now, continuing on, what is Jesus, again, implied? What is he doing? He's working salvation. Again, I'll throw this verse out there for you. 74:12 of Psalms, God is working salvation in the midst of the earth. Right? And that's never changed. If you look at it, the moment that mankind sinned, death, Adam and Eve died that day, sin entered into the world, death, everyone now who's born after Adam and Eve and of Adam and Eve, they all die. And what does God do in the midst of all that? He immediately begins with the hope of the promise of the Messiah in the reference of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the anointed one, that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come, and he would save, because he would destroy that work of the serpent who deceived and lied Eve into sinning, and Adam who sinned, that Jesus would come to destroy the works of the devil. And listen up. Jesus didn't come to just cover sin. See, all the sacrifices before him, just covering it, what did Jesus come to do? Take it away. He came to take away sin. He came to take away sin with a blood price of paying so that the righteous judgment of God would be satisfied. So in this salvation, this is his work. It's found in his name. His name is Jesus. Right? God is salvation, the salvation of God. Verse 12. Again, this is who, what, why, when, and where. Who? See, I did raise owls, didn't I? Who is Jesus? Who? What is he doing? What's his work? Look at verse 12 with me. But as many as received him. So where you have Israel not receiving their Messiah, yet in Jesus the light shining into the darkness, sin, hell, and death reigns not just amongst Israel, amongst all the peoples of the world. And there are some that received him. To them he gave power, or gave the ability, to become sons of God, to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, even in his name is his work. That's why Peter Schreiner is a Shriner, because I looked up what Shriner meant. It's like, oh, he's a carpenter. It's kind of cool. My name means, last name means weather. I'm like, well, I don't know if that, where our family got, maybe we worried about the weather, or maybe we predicted the weather, you know. Oh, my elbow's aching, the storm's coming, I don't know. But there is some truth to this, in that when God gave the name to his son, that he would enter in the world prophetically, is his work is in his name. His name is, God is salvation to them that believe on his name. Now, the real question everybody wants to know is, when is Jesus, right? Who, what, when? I guess I got when ahead of why. Nope, here it is. I'll get to do the right order. Who, what, when, where? Why is the last one? Did I just throw you all off? Okay, good. We can adapt. Is this like school today, Tijuana?
No.
No? You like this. You don't like school. Yep. Just got to graduate. That's all you got to do. Hey, I stayed in school and got my degree. I had a friend who switched at 3.5 years, and he went to school for another 5.
Yikes.
Finish. Okay, back on track. So we have who, what, when. When is Jesus? When is Jesus? Well, this is the witness of John. Here's the scriptures, right? John the baptizer is the one to bear witness of the light. When is Jesus? So again, here we are. And again, I'm just going to be straight up with you. And again, these are the conversations that I have with other Christians of different denominations, backgrounds, tradition. We come to Christmas. There's really not a holiday amongst churchianity this one has the most traditions. And again, maybe you've noticed that we're not a church calendar church. Right? We don't do the liturgical readings that are to be read on each specific Sunday. We don't have the, they all have colors of things they put in, you know. And so many would look and say, well, what do you do? So we follow the Holy Spirit. Right? So here we are today, and I'm very aware of the Christmas traditions, and I was asked about the Christmas traditions. Yeah, we don't do that. And you look at that, and so again, I'm not negative on Christmas or Resurrection Sunday. I mean, I celebrate them any time of the year as we go right through the scriptures. But these things that the Spirit brings up, and I believe you're bringing this up in this way, because John the Baptizer came in such a way where all the religious traditions that were going on in the world, and John comes and he's outside of that, and he begins to preach repentance of sin, and he begins to preach the Messiah. After 400 years of silence, John's a prophet called by God and sent out into the wilderness. You realize that God put 400 years of silence. America hasn't even existed for 400 years. You start to measure this in terms of time, and you're like, 400 years and not a prophet sent by God. Now, we come to this place, when is Jesus? It's like when the fullness of time, when God's ready to fulfill. How can you explain what happened with the Jesus movement back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? The only way you can explain it is God chose it and pleased him to do it that way. If we can describe anything else with our lives that it pleased God to save us, And you hear the preaching of the gospel, and you believed it, you received that. And the only thing I can describe is that it pleased God to do it this way. And I heard the gospel, and I believed him, I received him. So this John the Baptist, there's a witness that through his preaching and ministry to bear witness of the truth of the Messiah. And this is what comes. Not only was he sent to prepare the people for the Messiah, it's recorded for us that John, it was revealed to John that he would see the Messiah and he would find out who he is. And I absolutely love that. So when he sees him a little bit farther in the Gospel of John, which we didn't read in chapter 1 today, the very first time publicly, as he sees Jesus, he says, "Look," or "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When is Jesus? And every one of the gospel writers get to this point and said, we know that Jesus is the Messiah in this way. So you have his birth account. Luke records how Mary became pregnant even though she was a virgin, fulfilling prophecy. Matthew records. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John. They all record, and they all come to this place to describe this. When is Jesus? And that he has come, this witness of the Messiah, that he'd be greater, he'd baptize with the Spirit and fire, that he'd be the sacrifice that God would accept for the sin of the world. So not only is the when, and again, as you describe that, it's also the witness. Now back to the Christmas traditions. One of the biggest Christmas traditions is Advent. Taking that time, what is it, roughly 4 weeks ahead of Christmas, and preparing yourself to remember, like nostalgia, the first coming of Jesus. I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you're born of him and you're born of the Spirit and the Spirit is in you and you're a child of God and you bear witness with the Spirit, you know that Jesus has come and saved you. Okay? And I think of this regular place, and again, I'm not trying to speak against any traditions, but as much as I could take the sharp sword and just say to all of us, something much more important in the when of Jesus is before us. Right? So we have this witness of John the Baptizer, and then we get this witness of the Spirit in this section. When is Jesus? Well, verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. What it means to be born again. Or what it means to be born from above. Now, here's my theory, that the church, right, again, who's not regenerated, not born again, guess what they've had to do? They've had to create all systems and traditions in order to do what? To make all the effort to try to keep people in the faith. Now, when you're born again and you're born of him, you always have that witness. And to be born of him, this is the witness. And how that baptism of the Spirit fulfills the witness that Jesus is the power of God. We come to this place today, and my mom would always make a birthday cake for Jesus. That was her thing in the church we grew up. She'd make, again, if you were wondering if it was chocolate or if it was angel food or devil's food, it was certainly angel's food cake. How many candles do you put on Jesus' cake? One. Right? So, and she would do this. You know, and so again, not too uncommon to see that. Again, just you think of traditions, whether they be family or church. But we have this witness of the Spirit. And now, again, just laying this out. When is Jesus becomes very important? You do realize that, again, he probably wasn't born on December 25th. But the church takes that date, and again, there's reasons behind assimilating that. It's a great time to bridge a pagan holiday together with what the church is now going to do. And that's what happened in history. And so when you come to this, when is Jesus? And I look at the scriptures, and what I'm looking for is the witness. How do we know he is? So he comes in the world in this way, and again, you think of all that record of how He must be born of a virgin, and he was born in Bethlehem, and again, laid in a manger. All these things that we surround and have traditions have been made out of. And I'm just simply saying, this witness of the Spirit, as you read the scriptures, like that you know who he is. And then this witness and testimony of Jesus, this is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I'm just coming to today. My Advent is all about the second coming of Jesus. So when I say, when is Jesus, I am not looking back to, you know, I've studied all that. When he was born, somewhere around zero, there is no zero, you know, 2 to 5 BC probably is when he was actually born. You know, when they numbered the calendar, they're trying to hit it right on that. But as you study that and you look at, we know that he's come. He, again, there's so much record outside of the Bible. Jesus is not a fictional character. We have the witness of the Spirit of who he is. And as I lay this out, that the scriptures are laid out in his first coming in such a way in this testimony of Jesus that goes together with what happened or what is he doing. And when I say salvation, it puts with that the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So when you have the what and you have salvation and you put that together with the when, what did he do in his first coming? He came. For what reason? Again, that what happened is he came to bring salvation. And in that death, resurrection, and ascension comes with this most wonderful thing. What happens next? Remember, I'm on the when is Jesus. So what happens together with the when? Who, what, when is Jesus coming back? When is his return? This is all I wanted to talk about today, his return. His return. My Advent, his return. When's he coming back? We're looking at the scriptures, prophecy. Prophecy saying what? He's coming back any day now. The imminent return of Jesus. Ezekiel 38 and 39, those nations forming together. We're just looking like, how is there going to be a hook to grab these nations down to Israel where they say they're going to attack and destroy Israel and they're going to plunder Israel and then God's going to intervene and deliver them and save them. We have the rapture of the church, which has no prophetic events that must occur before the church is caught up. When we talk about the return of Jesus, he's going to come in the clouds to gather his bride up and catch us away. And from what takes place on that point forth, this is what we've been praying out for. Lord, do something. So again, little teaser for next week, Psalm 37. This is not the time for us as believers to fret over the evil that's going on in the world. Do you know that God is doing something right now? He's ripening evil for judgment. It is not pleasant to watch. Okay? It's troubling to do what? It's troubling to read the news. The evil that's in men's hearts. So if there was a worldwide news outlet controlled by 5 people, like it is now, you do realize truth is out the door in that platform. Now, why I say it that way, if there was a worldwide news outlet in the days of Noah, what would have the news been like? It's in men's hearts to do evil continually. Noah and his boys, if they had time to read the paper, they would have been talking about, did you see what happened over here? And then, there was this shooting in this country, and then these people, and all these things. And I'm just here to let you know, this is the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. What did he say to us? He said there's going to be trouble in the world. That book of Revelation is prophecy. Now, I know you all know that. So back to this when, because I got to get on to the why. I got to finish this Bible study. So this testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, his first coming was prophesied about. That's why we can answer that one. Riding on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey, on that particular day. Prophesied, Zechariah, book of Daniel, on that day, Messiah comes in that way. You'll notice that the prophecy of the when of his birth is not there, but the when he's revealed to Israel is, to the very day. When is Jesus? What's his work? Salvation. So what's the most important thing? His work on the cross. His death, his resurrection. I don't even like going to Bethlehem when we travel in Israel. Not what it's become. And again, interestingly enough, the imminent return of Jesus. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, not me. Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what's his next phrase? I will come again. Testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. What are we talking about today? When is Jesus? Is I will come again. That's all he left us. And so the when sets us to, is it now, Lord? Now, I remember waiting a really long time for our friend Robin, who we played volleyball with. Back in the day, this is a long time. We were going to the Henry Dorley Zoo down in Omaha, and we said, we'll meet you there. This is before cell phones. We just said to Robin, we're in Omaha, and we called her up, we're going to meet her, and so we'll meet you at the zoo. We sat there for, it seemed like forever. And so we're sitting on the curb, and if you spend any time with Tootie and me, it's like, we're just having fun with this. And all of a sudden, we're like walking up, and like, oh, look, there she isn't. As some hopeful people, like there's people coming, like, oh, it's not Robin. But it stirs me up. Again, this is us, church. This is the bride saying what? Is it now? And it really has been, if you study the history since he went back and he says, I'll come again. What has the church been doing since then? Oh, look, there he isn't. That hopeful desire that it's now. And God wants that in his church. Now, he does not want us weighed down with the cares of this life, carousing, drunkenness. I think the King James word for that is surfeiting. And we think surfing. We think it's a good word. It's not. And when you understand this, that the return of Jesus, the imminent return of Jesus, why do we hold to this? He says, I will come again to receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. So where is Jesus? Right? So he's the answer. So we have who, what, when, where, and why. So where is Jesus? Well, this might surprise you, but the answer, very straightforward. He is with us. Isn't that interesting? So his physical body, crucified, risen again, glorified, never more to die, ascends to heaven in glory, seated at the right hand of the Father, and yet he is still with us. So when we study this out, this is the key. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. And again, you think of what his work is and when his work is that he had to come. I love the new song, How Beautiful Are the Feet That Share the Gospel. What gospel? Even Isaiah's prophecy, it's all about the gospel of Jesus. Even where those words come from, I think it's good for us to understand this that Jesus would come. And listen, the Revelation passage, he had to come as a man. If he doesn't come as a man, he can't redeem mankind. And because man sinned, the only way to pay for man's sin is to have death pay for sin, an accepted sacrifice, the Lamb of God. So where is Jesus? Well, he's with us. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. He's the Son of God from glory. When he ascended, he returned to glory. So when he says that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, what's the statement? The Word was made flesh, we beheld his glory. We're saying, that's the Son of God become man. So when the Son of Man dies and resurrects and then ascends into heaven, what are we saying? The Son returned to glory. So he is with us. Let me illustrate. He gave his spirit that he might continue with us. Did you ever realize that? The Spirit could not be given until he was glorified. Now that he's glorified, ascend to heaven. He gave his Spirit that he might continue with us. What a great thing. It's recorded for us in John 14. He says, I'll pray to the Father, and he shall give you he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Where's Jesus? I'm not tearing up. I'm holding back a cough. Okay, back to the study. That intermission was brought to you by Ricola. This is the most beautiful thing. Why can we have joy in the midst of the evil, suffering, and trials, and wickedness that, and suffering because of sin, hell, and death that's in this world? Why can we have joy? Because Jesus is with us. He gave the Spirit that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why are we having such a hard time now in the world? Because the Spirit that's in this world is contrary to God. Why do we not like? I don't like the news. I don't even like to find out what the world's doing. I'm like, what? Okay, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And here's this wonderful truth. I will not leave you comfortless. Some versions say, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So as we understand, when we say Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, forever living to make intercession, the work of salvation continues through what? Prayer. Jesus does the work on the cross. He wins victory over sin, hell, and death. And he goes to heaven, and now he intercedes. The work of salvation, as far as Jesus, the Spirit now here convicting, and he is with us, he forever lives to make intercession. That's where the work of salvation continues. So he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's in us by his Spirit. Where is he? He's with us. If Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he gave the Spirit to dwell with us, that we might dwell with him, that never changed. Our oneness. Now, why can we have joy? Why can we have joy in the midst of all the suffering and trial and pain? I mean, when you have a loved one die, it hurts like crazy. But when they die in the Lord, what do we know? We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We sorrow in hope. Now, as I lay this forth in this way, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession, that work of salvation continuing at the right hand of the Father. And I just simply say, I don't know how you view that, him sitting on the throne. I view Jesus sitting on the throne, not with his feet up, cranked back in a lazy boy with his arms behind his head. I just had a long day. I see Jesus poised, just looking at the Father. Now, don't you love that? So when he said that the Father held that day in his hands and he didn't know it, here's what I think. After he raised from the dead and is now at the right hand of the Father, I think Jesus knows the day now. When he was here on earth, nobody could have pressed him to like when you coming back. But I think he knows now, and I think the Father, you think of that and how the Spirit's here. So let's get on to this last question. Why is Jesus? Who, what, when, where, and why? Well, I believe Jesus is poised, ready to turn. The where, he's coming back to the earth. The when, any day now. Why? The love of God. Why did God make you? Darwin's theory is raping the world, if you will. Right? Satan's tool to do what to him? Destroy, kill, death, war. I mean, think of all the things that have done between mankind to, again, some even say, oh, they're an inferior, they're not us, whatever has been used, that theory. But what about the truth of Jesus? Why did God make you? Why did he make all of mankind? Because he loves. It's described that God is love. You do realize that God, in his existence, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has love in and of himself as he fellowships in oneness and loves Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's part of the oneness, is love. And he made mankind, he made them in his image that he might have love and fellowship, that we would know love and fellowship. So in this love of God, remember I said God made things very good? Isn't that what he says after he makes mankind? What happened to it? Well, that relationship, that fellowship was broken by sin. Jesus came to fix it in that cross to bring salvation to the world. Why is Jesus? And I put it before you, that he might give life. The darkness is sin, hell, and death. He has life in himself. Why did he come? What is salvation? Salvation is about being saved from death that you might live. He came that you might have life. And I just lay this out in this way. Why? Why did Jesus come? Right? To give you life. Sin was bringing forth death. Men were in darkness. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. John's bearing witness to this, calling everybody to repentance. So when Jesus is there, all for one thing. His own did not believe him and receive him, but to those who received him, he gave them the power to become children of God. To those who believed on his name. And I lay this out. Why is Jesus? Why did he come? Why is he coming back? Why all this? So that we could live eternally. And I lay it before you. Are you living the abundant life? So you think of Christians, and you think of yourself as a Christian, and you think of, here we are with Christmas traditions, and I look at the Christmas traditions like, I see no evidence of the abundance of life in some of those traditions. And all I'm just looking for is, in us, the abundance of life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. So where do you think Darwin's theory came from? Pit of hell. Earthly, sensual, devilish. The pit of hell includes what? Everything sensual, earthly, right? Demonic. See, what we're talking about is wisdom from above, born from above. Jesus is from above. What are we talking? We needed God. We needed wisdom from above. So it's described, Jesus describing Satan as the thief to steal, kill, and destroy. What does Jesus say? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm just calling us out this Christmas to the abundant life. The abundant life. Now, if your eyes are on the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, right? The love of the Father is not in you. What's going to happen for you as a Christian? You'll be a worldly Christian, and what will you be looking at? I would have an abundant life if I had, and we usually equate it with the stuff that the world has, and we look, because, I mean, let's face it, the TV shows that people want to watch are, like, you think of the lifestyles of the rich and famous with Robin Leach. You know Robin Leach. There was, the rich and famous. Why is there an entertainment section to our news? Entertainment is news, but you see, that's, the world is fixated upon all that. And we know that, but I'm here to remind you of the abundant life in Jesus, the fullness of joy in life, that the joy may be full and remain in you. John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Are you so full this Christmas of the joy that you can't contain it? Or are you walking around moping as a Christian? Oh, it's just so hard. Oh, if I just had the Eeyore philosophy, it'll never work. The fullness of life with Jesus, who could get that? Hey, listen, we're to be full of joy. And it's not manufactured. It's not fake. This comes between you and the Lord. That I just, this, Jesus is enough. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is all. I have the life of Jesus. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Honestly, maybe your prayer life stinks. Right? Just plain and simple. Plain and simple. Maybe your prayer life stinks and that's why you don't have joy. Or maybe your prayer life is wonderful and everything going on in your life, you roll it back onto God and you say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, it hurts, but you've got, you're working something. Lord, the joy is still there. And I leave you with this today. I leave you with this. In this fullness of joy, I'll leave you with, it only works in English, so I'll give it to you in English. Here's an application. Joy. Jesus first in all things. Do you know why we don't have joy many times? Because we're out of order. So the acronym for joy is J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. See, what's the world preaching right now? Why? Correct? So worldly Christians don't have any joy either. Where's our joy come from? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy comes from Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The three the world is scrambling for. And Satan's preaching self-love is the way to get it. Love, joy, and peace. Now, I'm just up here to stand and say, "What? I'm filled with joy. Christmas joy. I have the day after Christmas joy." And God is calling upon us to manifest a joy and a gladness of heart. And I'll just be honest, the world's not changing. The environment's not going to get better. Okay, you're not going to see Jesus, the real Jesus, on primetime TV. The fake chosen Jesus is acceptable, right? The Mormon Jesus, because he's not the only begotten Son of God. Right? All the fake is accepted. So how are we going to face this? Well, I say this. I'm not fretting. Everything that Jesus told us is happening. And he says, in the midst of all that, you know what he said for us to do? He says, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. What's my concentration? Abundant life. What's his work? His work of salvation. How do I get involved in that? He's called me, right? The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to give life. If I have his life and it's abundant and I have prayer, then I should be manifesting all manner of joy. Now, what's your acronym application today? Jesus, others, yourself. I challenge you, if you're moping as a Christian, who are you thinking about? The why of joy. So just ask yourself, why do I have no joy? Why do I have no joy? So, Father in heaven, we come to you now. And we ask for your joy to abound to us in all manner of peace and love that comes forth from your Holy Spirit, that the joy of the Spirit, Lord, even in trials, you tell us to count it all joy. Lord, you say that you have given us access to you in prayer. So, Lord, we ask in your name, we ask for the souls we've been praying for, we ask for your salvation to come. Lord, we ask for your mighty working power. We ask for you to ripen fruit. As you ripen some fruit for destruction, and Lord, as you bring in a harvest, Lord, we look forward and we look to you that joy would overwhelm our lives, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be upon us. The love, joy, and peace. The world who knows no peace, but you've given us peace. The world who knows no love, but you've given us love. The world who knows no joy, but you've given us joy. We worship you today. We honor you. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.